we have a tendency to distinguish between Yaakov and Esav based on the classic pasuk, Hayadayim Yedei Esav, Akol Kol Yaakov VeHayadayim Yedei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, and the hands are the hands of Esav. And in this way, we distinguish between the greatness of Yaakov, representative of the Jewish people, Hakol Kol Yaakov. The greatness of Yaakov, his strength is revealed through his voice. The Jewish person, a holy person, a spiritual person, distinguishes and proves himself through his voice. Kol Shel Torah, the voice that resounds with the words of Torah, of spirituality, devotion, tefillah, prayer to Hashem. Whereas Esav is classically defined with regards to the opposing nations, Hayadayim Yedei Esav, the hands are the hands of Esav. A person who is completely enthralled by materialism, using his hands for physicalities, for success within the physical world, but failing to understand that there's a greater message way above and beyond the physical world, that of the spiritual Hakol Kol Yaakov. But when we ask ourselves, what exactly was the Kavanah? What exactly were the intentions of Yitzchak Avinu? Yitzchak, our forefather, who clearly saw that Esav perhaps was deserving of the brachot, of the bechorah, of the birthright blessings, and in the end gave them to Yaakov. But Yitzchak must have thought at some point that it was appropriate to give these blessings to Esav. And there are some who explain that in actuality, the statement of Akol Kol Yaakov Ayadayim Yedei Esav, while there is no question that the main focus of a person, certainly of a Jewish person, should be the kol, should be the voice, that of spirituality, nonetheless, perhaps Yitzchak saw a fantastic partnership or potential for a partnership that can exist between the attributes of Yaakov and the attributes of Esav, if you may. Yitzchak envisioned a partnership of success, which would be based on physical attributes and the combination of spiritual attributes. Someone who could serve God in this world through physicalities, taking those physicalities and translating them, or elevating them, if you may, into spiritual success. That would be the great, grand partnership between a Yaakov and an Esav. And perhaps that's what Yitzchak envisioned. Not someone who would reject completely the physical world, but someone who would embrace it for the sake of elevating it to the Kol Kol Yaakov. For the voice, the sound, the spirit of Ruchniyut, of a spiritual existence. And I think to a certain extent that that's what's described in this week's Parsha. And I'd like to share with you two thoughts that in my mind were outstanding regarding this week's Parsha. The first is from the Ramban. Nachmanides, the Ramban, in the directive that the Torah gives regarding Aaron and his sons washing from the kior and the kano, washing from the flask of water or from the sink of water, the basin that would wash their hands and feet in preparation for service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the confines of the Mishkan and afterwards in the confines of the Mikdash, the Holy Temple in Yerushalayim. V'rachatzu Aaron uvanav es yadav ves raglav. And Aaron and his children will wash both their hands and their legs, their feet, from this kior v'kano, from these kelim, from these utensils. Why was it so important to emphasize that Aaron and his children should wash their hands and their feet? And the Ramban says a fascinating insight. Harichitza azu kederech kavod shelemala. This washing represented respect and great servitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God above. Ki kol ha-karev l'shulchan ha-melachim l'sharet v'liga bepat. Anyone who comes to service a king within his confines, to serve a king at his table, certainly, rochetz yadav, should wash his hands, ba'avur heyota yadayim askaniot, because after all, his hands are busy. His hands are constantly in motion. They may have touched places that are impure or unclean or not sanitized, and therefore he has to take an effort to clean them in service of the king. In addition, they have to wash their feet. Why? Because we all know that the Kohanim, the priests, when they walked in the Mishkan and the confines of the Beit HaMikdash, they did so barefoot. And therefore, just as their feet, or their hands rather, service the king, so too their feet are exposed as well and can also be dirty, and they need to be cleansed as they walk in servitude of the king in the confines of the Mishkan as well. And therefore, both the hands and the feet are cleansed. However, the Ramban continues insightfully. V'aderech ha'amet ba'avur hayot rosh ha'adam v'sofo ha'yadayim v'haraglayim. Says the Ramban, let us understand that the yadayim, the hands, are the beginning of a man. Meaning when a person wants to measure the entire length of his body, including his hand breadth, he raises his hands above. And it turns out that his hands are actually above his head. While there's no doubt that the head directs a person and gives him his knowledge, his understanding, and his meaning, the hands are above the head, or they have the potential to be above the head. And therefore the hands are a reminder that they must be with constant service of God. The hands should always be used for the productive in order to create, to produce in a positive fashion, in an intellectual and sound movement. The hands are above the head. It's the beginning of the person that they represent. And the feet, on the other hand, are on the bottom. They are the end of man. They represent the end of his body, the end of his service. Says the Ramban, the Kohanim, the priests, are reminded immediately as they enter the Mishkan to service Hashem, that from their very essence, from the beginning of their creation, from the beginning of their hands, to the very end of their body, to their feet, they must be completely enthralled, surrounded by, and completely loyal to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of their functions, all of their bodily functions, all of their physical motions should ultimately be to service Hashem and to reach HaKol Kol Yaakov. The Adayim Yedei Esav, the hands and the feet which walk in service of Hashem, should ultimately arrive at HaKol Kol Yaakov, to service Hashem through the voice of Yaakov, through the Tfilah, the Avodah, the Korbanot, the sacrifices that they're offering. Everything should be in tune with regards to this service. L'fichach nitztavu mishartei elyon l'chotz hayadayim v'haraglayim. Says the Ramban, it's for this reason that those who service God above have to wash their hands and their feet. V'achitza hazot l'kdusha. And this washing in preparation was for the sake of sanctity. This is why, says the Ramban, in similar form and fashion within halachic context, the Chachamim, the rabbis, directed man to wash his hands before he goes to pray to Hashem. Why? Again, reminding us that we have the ability, we have the obligation to take the power, the physical prowess within our hands, and to elevate them for a greater purpose of servicing Hashem within spirituality. The Meshech Chochma, Rav Meir Simcha Medvinsk, points out in a similar fashion with regards to the difference between the first luchot, the first commandments, tablets, if you may, which were given to Am Yisrael, and as we all know, were broken, destroyed by Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's Parsha, and between the second Luchot, in which after the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf, Moshe is instructed, Psolecha, to go ahead and to rewrite, to reconstruct new Luchot, new tablets to be given to Bnei Yisrael. What was the difference between the two? The first ones which were broken and the second ones which were handed from Moshe to Bnei Yisrael. The difference is, says the Meshech Chochma, that the first Luchot, it says, Ve'katavti al haluchot et advarim asher ayu al haluchot arishonim asher shibarta. On the one hand, God says, even in the construction of the second tablets, I will write and engrave the words onto those tablets as well. However, let us understand, the first tablets which were given to Bnei Yisrael were given exclusively by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Hashem. They were written, inscribed, engraved, and offered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atzmo, as it says in Shmot Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Tet Zayin, Ma'asei Elokim Hema. They were clearly the works exclusively of God. Yes, Moshe facilitated giving them or handing them to Bnei Yisrael, or he was supposed to, but the entire construction of the Luchot were done by Hashem, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu above. The second Luchot, however, are instructed or given to Moshe to construct with the word of Hashem. Ba'et haya amar Hashem elai, in Parshat Ekev, Dvarim Perek Yud, Psukim Aleph through Dalid, when Moshe reviews the directives he was given by Hashem, it says, Ba'et haya ashmar Hashem elai, psolecha, shnei luchot rishonim, tarishonim asher shibarta. You, Moshe, are supposed to rewrite or reconstruct the Luchot, the second tablets, which you had broken originally, and give them to Bnei Yisrael. Says the Meshech Chochma, what is the difference? And he explains as follows. Ka'et sarich kol adam liga. Lulei zeh, were it not for the destruction of the first tablets, haya hofa'at ha'or ha'eloki, the Spirit of God would have been everlasting and would have continued to thrive within the confines and the camp of Bnei Israel, both as a nation and as individuals. And indeed, Klal Yisrael would have been graced with being a holy nation, a priestly nation. However, now that these Luchot were cast down from the Adayim, were thrown down from the hands, and those same hands of Bnei Yisrael that were supposed to be sanctified in service of Hashem were used to mold a golden calf. They were used for improper usages. Says the Meshech Chochma, Gam la'amol tzarich kol adam liga lezakei chomruyoto b'tchunot nafsho. Now, man would have to return to God by demonstrating that he can use his hands and his feet to walk in the ways of Hashem, to reignite, to reassess, and to reestablish that rapport, that relationship that should exist between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Ruchniut. And therefore, Moshe was told, Psol lecha shnei luchot avanim karishonim. Now you have to mold, you have to create the second Luchot,
that are similar to the first. Yes, man has the potential to reach spirituality, to reach the first luchot, which had HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence inside. But now it's up to man to put in those efforts. The second luchot, the second tablets, were not molded or created by Hashem. They were created by Moshe as a sign that now the Jewish people would have to take their own initiative, their own efforts, and invest those energies for the sake of reaching what once was the first luchot, the potential of being Malechet Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh. However, at the same time, even within the second luchot, says the Meshech Chachma, there is an indication that a Kadosh Baruch Hu pitched in Kiviyachol as well. As it says, V'katavti al haluchot et hadvarim asher hayu al haluchot harishonim asher shibarta. Says a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I will indeed inscribe on the luchot, just as the first luchot that you broke. So we see that Hashem did invest, or did insert, something of His own, even within the second tablets. Why? Says the Meshech Chochma as follows. V'yirmoz shegam ha'ktiva hu lehachana mimifal ha'adam. The writing of the second luchot, the second tablets, indeed was done by man, demonstrating that he has to take that initiative. V'acharkach, however, even within the second luchot, lechakika, nonetheless, the letters still stood miraculously engraved, floating on air. That was a miracle from Hashem, even within the second tablets. Why? Hu mitzad ezer hakadosh baruch hu. The point is, says the Meshech Chochma, once man kicks in with that initiative, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed enjoins with him and demonstrates that he too is with Am Yisrael. Let us all appreciate the message of the Chet HaEgel, which was indeed tragic, is not only reflective or historical, but it's an incentive for us even to this very day. As we wash our hands before tefillah, we are reminded that our hands and our feet and our physical functions are meant to be elevated ultimately for the purpose of serving Hashem. And in the destruction of the first luchot, there is still a construction of the second ones. But the construction of the second ones are done by us. Just as there was a destruction of the second and the first and the second Beit HaMikdash, the construction of the third is initiated by us, by our actions. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us at this time. And these are the pertinent and relevant messages that we have to take away from this week's Parsha. Emir Tzashem, if we understand and appreciate that ultimately it is up to our efforts to facilitate the Geula, the redemption of the Jewish people, and each and every one of us attempt to invest our energies and our focus into serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bettering the spiritual level of Am Yisrael, then we'll all be zoche not only to see the Geula Shleima, but we'll be proudly be able to say that we were part of facilitating it as well. Shabbat Shalom.